I'm Brian Copeland. I'm here with you until 4 o'clock today. In the next hour, our headliners on the Headlines Hour. I will be joined by comedians Joni Fagan, Justin Harrison, and Will Durst. And we'll have some fun with some of the news of the week. We are, of course, going to play with, talk about the shutdown. I say play with because that's pretty much what it is we do. We have a list of topics, a bunch of different news stories, and we have some fun with them. We'll talk about the shutdown, of course. We'll talk about how Twitter's being used by criminals. And the America's Cup, you know, the America's Cup, $5 million lost on the city of San Francisco, the reports say, by the time all of the bills are added up, and whether or not it's something we should do again. Right now, another local story. This one from my hometown of San Leandro, which has been getting some national news over the course of the last couple of weeks, when the San Leandro City Council voted 4-3 to fly the Chinese flag, to fly the flag of the People's Republic of China in front of City Hall on October the 1st, the National Day of the People's Republic of China, celebrated on October 1st. And the PRC was founded on October 1st, 1949. So I can't imagine they thought this would be non-controversial, but obviously it was. They made national, city made national news. The phone rang off the hook, and the mayor, Stephen Cassidy, announced this week that he was going to overrule the council and was not going to fly the flag. With me, I tried to get some people on both sides of this issue with me. We could not get the councilman Benny Lee, who was the one who sponsored this thing, this resolution to begin with, or anybody else in support. But Mike Katzlakabe, who was one of those leading the opposition, a member of the school board, is here with us. Thanks for coming on the program.
Nice to be here. Thank you, Ryan.
Okay, no, I just said I can't imagine that they didn't expect any controversy over this.
I think actually they didn't expect controversy over this. I thought this would be, I think they thought this would be another easy vote at the city council, but a lot of Tibetan protesters came out there and word spread around, and there were a lot of people who got up and spoke at that city council meeting in opposition to raising the Chinese flag.
Okay, now other cities have done it. Alameda did it, San Francisco's done it, Oakland's done it without there being a national stink.
Well, I don't know about all the other cities, but I do know about Alameda because I've learned about that recently. That's done not by the city. That is done by a private organization. They bring their own temporary flagpole. They do it at City Hall, but no city staff and no, it's not an official city recognition.
Well, but it's still on city property.
It is on city property, but you could do something similar to a city park, for example, City Hall. I mean, these are public places designed mm-hmm. for the public, but the difference between San Leandro and Alameda in particular was that San Leandro, it would be an official event. It would be city staff raising it on the city flagpole in place of the city flag that currently flies there.
Okay, tell me what your major objections of the opposition happen to be, that it's an endorsement of communist China?
Well, the largest percentage of people who were there were supporters of Tibet, who are against the Chinese treatment of Tibet and the autonomous region of Tibet. Those were certainly the largest number of people spoke out. I have concerns about that. But in addition, I don't think it's proper for a local city government to be flying the flag of a foreign nation, except perhaps in an example of when you might have a delegation, an official foreign delegation from that country
visiting
coming and visiting your city. In addition, the flag is a symbol of the government. It's not a symbol to people, especially in the case of China, where that flag came about on October 1st after they had won their civil war against what became the Taiwanese Republic of China, the Taiwan Republic of China.
Well, I'll tell you, I would beg to differ with you about the flag being representative of government and not of the people. I think that the Stars and Stripes is representative of the people. I think that the American flag represents me.
I agree with you in this case. But China is not a democratic country. China does not elect its leaders. So in that case, I don't think the flag represents the people, but it represents the Chinese Communist Party and the leaders of that country who are not elected by the people.
All right. Now, the rationale for doing this, and I can't speak to the other cities, and perhaps you can as to why other cities did it, but San Leandro's rationale was to show a support of local Chinese residents and the Chinese community, and they believe that it would show the Chinese community that the city was open to investment and businesses that were owned and supported by Chinese residents.
That was one of the arguments put forth was for investment, to encourage investment in San Leandro. And I think any city would welcome investment from people of any country. And for China in particular, or any other country, I mean, China's got 5,000 years of rich culture that we should definitely learn about and celebrate. It's an amazing culture. And things there have changed over the years, and where more people are speaking out, even though they still continue to repress free speech and censor the internet and things like that. I don't think there's a need to fly the official flag of that country in order to both respect the people and show them that you encourage their culture. I think you can do that by celebrating the culture in other ways.
Well, tell me, what do Chinese residents, I've seen no Chinese residents actually quoted in terms of this. You know, were they, did they find it offensive, or did they, you know, get that it was...
I can't claim to speak for the Chinese community.
Well, I mean,
community.
If you see a quote, has somebody spoke, did somebody speak out? You know, is there a quote that you've seen
someplace? There was, the only person that I saw the speaking, there were two people who spoke in favor of it. One of them was the head of the Asian Cultural Community Association, who basically said the same thing, that it... shows respect for and encourages Chinese investment, and shows respect for the Chinese immigrants that are part of our community. Now, San Leandro is, as you know from your work, is one of the most diverse cities in the United States.
Yeah.
And we have a rich immigrant history, whether it be from Portugal or from Spain, and more recently from China and from Latin America as well.
Was there opposition, as far as you know, when you talked about Alameda, but when they raised that flag in Oakland and when they raised that flag in San Francisco?
I haven't been able to find much information about that. The other difference with Oakland and San Francisco is they have a strong mayor city, so the mayor is able to do a lot of things without consulting the council.
To do it unilaterally.
And that's not the case in San Leandro. San Leandro is not a strong mayor city. He has to get consent of the council in order to undertake most actions.
All right. Well, let's open up the phone lines because I'm curious what folks think about this. When I first saw it, I first saw in the paper, you know, San Leandro to raise the flag of the People's Republic of China. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was like an onion thing. You know, I really
You're not
did.
The only one.
Because it was, yeah. So the headline is like, okay, come on. What's the put on? What's the catch? It's not really the flag of China. And, you know, and then to find out it really was, I was just kind of surprised. So here's the question we'll ask here. And that is, do you think that it is inappropriate for a city or a municipality to fly the flag of the People's Republic of China? Do you think that that is an endorsement of the government of the People's Republic of China if you fly that flag on city property? And the other question is, do you believe that a flag is representative of a nation, or is it representative of its people? You know, as I said, when I see the stars and stripes, I believe that flag represents not just the United States of America, but it represents me. It represents me, Brian Copeland, as an individual and a citizen of that nation. It doesn't make a difference to you if the flag is of a nation that is a democratic nation or not. 808-0810 is the telephone number. I'm going to talk to you, too, when we come back about this other national news that you made. We talked about it on the program a couple of weeks ago a little bit. And that is about the government surveillance going on in the city that you found out about, that we were unaware that we were being tracked and followed through that city, as well as others. All of that as the Brian Copeland Show continues right here on KGO. Once again, 808-0810 is the phone number. And at 2:45, let's check in with Paul Rogers and see how things are looking on the roads.
Hi, your home for talk all weekend long. Monty, Brian Copeland, Corral, Pat Thurston, and Maureen Langan. Talk lives here. KGO 810.
I'm Brian Copeland here with you until 4 o'clock today. City of San Leandro, my hometown. I made national news over this controversy over flying the flag of the People's Republic of China at City Hall on October 1st. The mayor overruled the city council. You know, the mayor came in and said, no, never mind, we're not going to do it. After all of the protests, Tibetan protests, in fact, as well as the phone ringing off the hook. So something else that you did, with me here in the studio, is one of the protesters, a member of the school board in that town, Mike Katz-Lacabe. You did something else in the last few months that made national news, and I was really surprised to read about you in the Wall Street Journal. They picked up who else picked this up? It was everywhere. Wall Street Journal picked up.
It got picked up by the Wall Street Journal. It got picked up by CNN. It got picked up by the local news stations.
Yeah,
and
AP
the Chronicle.
Had it, and everything else had it. Okay, and that is you uncovered the secret surveillance that was going on in the city of San Leandro, and surveillance at other cities around the country. You're doing, although perhaps not, it's not as intrusive as what's going on in our town.
Well, what I found out was that in 2008, the San Leandro Police Department installed a license plate scanner on one of their vehicles. And that vehicle, when it drives around, it takes pictures of everybody's license plates, but not only the license plates, but also the vehicle, the surrounding area of the vehicle, and perhaps anybody who's in it or near it. And at the time when I found that information out, they were storing that information indefinitely. I asked for copies of all the records concerning my vehicle and found out they'd been taking a picture of my vehicle on average once a week since the time that they installed it.
Now what, just driving around or,
just
parked,
driving
or
around.
parked in your
Wherever I happen to encounter that police vehicle, it was driving around, whether it be my driveway. Most of the images are pictures of my cars parked next to my driveway or in my driveway. But some of them were of me by the library or by a friend's house, you know,
wow.
around town.
And I'm one of the reports I read, I think it was a Wall Street Journal article, said that one of the pictures was you and your kids in your driveway.
Yeah, but that was a very coincidence where myself and my daughters were getting out of our car in the driveway. And since one of the cameras is pointed perpendicular from the car, it happened to capture a very clear image of myself and my daughters getting out of the car.
All right. So, is this camera activated? I mean, is it activated manually or is it just automatic?
It's automatic. The one car right now that they have, it has three cameras. There's two forward-looking cameras: one on the left side of the car, one on the right side of the car. There's another one pointed perpendicular to catch cars that are parked perpendicularly to the roadway as it drives past, and it just clicks off images. They say that it can take every license plate of cars up to about 120 or 130 miles an hour.
All right. So what it does is it runs them through a database to see if they're stolen.
Yep.
And what else?
It basically looks for license plates that are associated with an amber alert, with a stolen vehicle, with a felon who's wanted, et cetera.
All right. And, now, there are some people, when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, there were some people, and I got a lot of this that, you know, I think that's a good thing. You know, if there's a kid that's been kidnapped and, you know, they're able to find out if the car that was involved in the kidnapping is there based upon scanning the license plate, or people who commit crimes and who were hopping on the freeway to take off, if you were able to get a picture of the car or the plate, that perhaps it's keeping us safe or making us safer. How would you respond to that?
Well, my objection is not to the technology itself. I happen to agree with what you just said there and what other people say about the use of technology. I think it's a force multiplier for the police department. Overall, I think it's a good thing. My problem was with retention of data. At the time when I requested my records, they had every record stored since they had started using that system. In a town of 85,000 in San Leandro, there were more than 2 million records.
Wow.
1 million a year generated by that system. They have plans now to implement two more police cars in addition to two parking vehicles that also have these license plate scanners on them. And they're keeping that information now. The policy has gone from keeping them indefinitely to only keeping them for a year, which is better, but still a problem because you can determine a lot of very, very personal information about a person by where you take pictures of their car, whether they visit the medical marijuana dispensary, who they're associating with. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're spending a lot of time at a person's house who is not their spouse, for example, or they're visiting a local clinic.
Okay, but are they doing stuff like that? I mean, or do they just simply disregard it and it goes into the database if there's no hit, you know, there's no hit for nefarious activity?
Well, the information now is being shared with the Northern California Regional Intelligence Center. So it's no longer just a law enforcement issue where they're looking for people who have committed a crime. Now, as the person from the Northern California Regional Intelligence Center said when he made a presentation to the San Leandro City Council, they're keeping it in the event that someone might commit a crime in the future.
In the future. So, in other words, if a car is involved in a robbery or something in the future, they can go back to the database, find out all the places where the car's been parked.
Yep.
Over the last... Wow. Now, that's scary.
It is very scary. That's the problem. That's the problem.
Wow,
now it's not
scary.
Just now. It's not just.
Well,
my
think
city.
About it. It's scary, but it's also good. You have to make the argument that it's scary, but it's also good because it will help in the apprehension of a perpetrator.
But we, as a society, have determined that there are limits to what we will do in order to catch criminals. We require a search warrant, right, and probable cause in order to do those things. For these license plate scanners, there's really no rules around them at all. There's no rules on retention of data. There's no rules on how they're used.
So the courts, the Supreme Courts, the federal courts have made no kinds of rulings in regard to how they can be used and the records can be used?
No, not yet. There's been no legislation and no court decisions based on these. Not like you have with the GPS devices, for example, where the courts now require a search warrant in order to use them, whereas before the police department were deploying them without a search warrant onto suspect vehicles.
All right. Now, there are other cities, right, that have the same kind of technology. We're not the only ones using
it. Oh, no. San Leandro is just a microcosm. They're used in, you know, Oakland has at least 18. San Francisco has multiple ones. Milpitas has them. Most of the local police departments around here have and use these systems. Some of them by themselves. Some of them are submitting data to the Northern California Regional Intelligence Center.
All right. Is there any evidence that the use of these vehicles and the retention of these records does in some way, shape, or form help reduce crime? I mean, is the crime rate lower, for example, in cities that have deployed these vehicles using the scanners?
Well, that's the interesting thing. There really is no data around this. In fact, our own police chief said that they don't track use of the license plate scanning system. In the one study,
but back up. They track the license plate, but they don't track the system itself.
Yes. So there's really no way currently to determine how effective they are, because they're just not tracking its usage. And if you have a million records in that system, how many of those actually prove to be useful, right? And how long after you initially entered them in the system were they useful? Could we get by with storing that information for 1 week? There are some police departments, some state police departments, that only store the information for 24 hours or even 48 hours.
There you go. Now, see, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
They're keeping it indefinitely or even for a year. Now, is the fact that they keep it a year as opposed to indefinitely now because of the publicity that you've brought to the issue?
I can't say for certain because no one would actually give me that answer.
The timing. It's in the Wall Street Journal and CNN, and suddenly they changed the policy.
Yeah, so the timing was fortuitous in that regard. The Wall Street Journal article came out in September last year. By December of last year, the policy had changed from storage indefinite period of time to 1 year.
Indefinite period of time to 1 year. So you did this under Freedom of Information Act.
Well, I did it under the California equivalent, which is the California Public Records Act.
I want to see what they got on me. I'm curious.
Yeah.
Well, so what do? You just go in and you give them your license number?
I sent in a formal request that included a statement that I own these vehicles. I'm the registered owner of these vehicles, and I swear under penalty of perjury that is the case. And they subsequently provided that information to
what
me.
What tipped you off? I mean, can you tell? Can you tell by
looking at the
vehicle?
You can tell by looking at the vehicle.
Because I'm trying to think if I've seen it. I don't think I've seen it.
Well, the vehicle now is a little bit more discreet than the previous one. The previous one had fairly large, round cameras on it that were mounted on the car that were very obvious. Now the new ones are low profile, so they're kind of hidden by the light bar on top of the police car. It's kind of difficult to see.
Now, one of the things that would be good with cameras, and I don't know if the department that we have uses them or not, and that's videoing, recording in some way stops in interactions with people who are pulled over. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Well, I think every camera should have that. Every police car should have a camera like that.
Oh, I agree. What they're actually doing, and I know the Alameda County Sheriff's Department has already implemented this, are personal officer cameras. So they're mounted on the officer themselves, and so they can film those interactions. I know the San Leandro Police Department is experimenting with them. I don't know where in the path of actually getting those into every officer where they are.
Oh, I think you'd see, you know, if this happened across the country, I think you would see a first of all, a drop in people reaching for their wallets and shot 53 times, you know.
Studies have shown that there are far fewer complaints against the police who have these cameras deployed.
Shocking.
And far less incidents of officer violence, right, for those who use these cameras.
All right, Mike Katz-Lacabe, thanks for being with us. I appreciate it very much. So the last thing just on the People's Republic of China, the flag. So it's not going to happen on October 1st. So what's happening?
So just to be clear, the mayor did not overturn the decision.
He
rescinded the vote. So they have to reconsider it at the next meeting. Which
is after October 1st.
Which is after October 1st. That's October 7th. That reconsideration of that vote will happen. Councilmember Benny Lee, who supported it, is reportedly going to be in China at that time, so he will not be able to
reintroduce it himself.
To reintroduce it or to vote on it. So I expect that the proclamation or the decision that had passed previously will not be able to pass this time. We'll have a tie vote of 3-3.
So I'm curious, last question. As far as you know, on October 1st, are any other Bay Area cities that have flown that flag in the past going to do it?
I believe the city of Alameda. But again,
Alameda's,
it's not the city of Alameda.
Right,
it's a private organization
right,
within Alameda.
Right.
And for San Francisco and Oakland, I'm not sure because, again, some private organizations are involved in this in some of the other cities. And whatever they want to do, they can do on their own.
All right. Mike Katz-Lacabe, thanks for being with us. A pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Brian.
After we get to local and some network news, it's Headliners on the Headlines. I'll be joined by comedians Joni Fagan, Justin Harrison, and Will Durst. We'll talk about the government shutdown. We'll talk about Obamacare. We'll talk Ted Cruz. And we'll talk about the Breaking Bad finale. Yeah. Yes, I'm just killing time until the Breaking Bad finale tonight. That's all coming ahead here on the Brian Copeland Show on KGO, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, where it's 3 o'clock.